Welcome to the home study course of the Academy for Scriptural Knowledge. There's a well-known proverb that can help us understand the value of teaching and education. It goes like this. Give a man a fish, and you feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, and you feed him for a lifetime. This course is designed to show the student of the Bible the essential tools and their methods of use to help one understand the principal teachings of the scriptural revelation. Now, most people who study the Bible today are fed a fish, all right, probably once a week at a church service. Or they may look at the Bible themselves periodically and try to find a fish here and there. This course is presented to show the methods and shortcuts which can lead a person to an abundance of those allegorical fish that we've been talking about here. Recall that the disciples once themselves fished all night and caught nothing. But Christ said to cast the net on the right side of the boat, and up came 153 fish. There were so many that the net almost broke. In fact, it should have broken, but it did not. Now, you'll find that in John 21, verses 4 through 11. There was a mystical teaching, even in this incident here of these 153 fish. And I think it's good right at the very beginning here to tell you about it, because Christ said to them that they were going to become, these apostles, fishers of men. So maybe that proverb that we started with there is very relevant to all of us today who want to learn to do the proper things as far as the biblical teaching is concerned. Because when we look at those that incident there of the 153 fish, we find something very interesting in it. When one takes the Hebrew phrase, Beni Elohim, which means the sons of God or the children of God, the letters of that phrase, when they're added together, come exactly to 153. Now, those disciples must have understood this mystical meaning that was there. 153 fish on one side of the boat and none on the other. And they were commissioned right then and there to become fishers of men. Now, he had told that to them before in Matthew chapter 4 and in verse 19. They were chosen to become fishers of men. Now, that's what the apostles were. And we are, in a sense, the recipients of the apostolic teaching. And we have their writings right in front of us in the biblical revelation today. And we have the opportunity of doing what they were doing back there. We do not have their commissions, of course, but we do have the responsibility of getting out the gospel of Christ as best as we can understand it. And in one way of looking at it, we are ourselves fishers of men. And really, all those who take this course and study diligently can do that very thing. Perhaps we can be a part of that 153 fish, or that Beni Elohim, the sons of God, that Christ was talking about there and had relevance to. But the student, that is, this spiritual fisherman, like the apostles were back there and like we should be today, this spiritual fisherman must have the proper equipment and the expertise to use those tools, the tools of education, the tools of understanding the scripture, the means by which we can get out the teaching of God and of Christ in a proper way. He must have those tools in an easy and an efficient manner so that they can be used properly. This course is designed to give you that type of an easy and an efficient way of learning the Holy Bible, the scripture of truth. This course will de-emphasize the importance of man and his interpretations of scripture, no matter how accurate they may be, and many of them are quite accurate, as a matter of fact. But mankind, that includes myself, or you, or any of us, does not really represent the most important factor in learning. All of us are men, we have our limitations, that's quite true. But the stress, really, in learning the Bible should be on what the apostles, the patriarchs, the prophets, the kings, the priests, and especially what Christ himself had to say in the written revelation. This is where our emphasis really should be. Now, today it's not that way at all in most theological institutions. I can just tell you that outright. I'm not condemning them for it, but I'm just saying that that is the case. They are not really looking at the biblical revelation in a pristine sense, that is, trying to get from it what the teachings of the Bible really are. Many people today feel that the biblical revelation has been so thoroughly gone over and understood over the past centuries that there is little new things to study, that we can't really exact from the scripture much new material today because it has been so gone over by councils of people, by people in seminaries and religious leaders, of people studying the scripture, you would think, over the last, almost 2,000 years. And so it must be thoroughly understood, one would think. However, you know, that is not the case at all. In fact, one of the problems today is that men are relying more on men and the teachings of men and on the opinions and the interpretations of men. I am not saying that interpretations of men are wrong, because every time that you would give an explanation of the scripture, you must represent that a part of you goes into it. I would hope, however, that each of us would have the Holy Spirit of God and being motivated by God so that we might be able to get the real teaching, the real meaning of the scripture out of it, and then dispense that to people who are willing to listen. But in most theological institutions today, we find that people are quoting people. Scholars are quoting other scholars. You go to a bookstore, for example. That is a technical bookstore dealing with theology and scholarship in the biblical revelation. I'm not talking about books of an inspirational nature, or let's say books about prophecy or something like that, which are very popular today. No, I am talking about scholarly theological works found in the major universities or seminaries of this world. And you will find that most of the books are written by scholars quoting other scholars. And at the back of the book, there will be an index. In fact, there will be several indices, but one of them almost invariably will be there to show all of the scholars that have been quoted in this book. Usually, they will also show the scriptural references that have been given as well. But the emphasis happens to be on what man says today, on what one scholar says, another scholar, and how one disputes with this or that or whoever. And that is normally the emphasis that you get in the world today. And that includes most seminaries, most denominational teaching schools, or whatever. Now, in this course, however, it's not going to be that way. We are going to de-emphasize as best as possible man and his interpretation. Now, you can't get rid of it entirely. I mean, that would be crazy to even say such a thing, because each of us happens to be a human. But yet, at the same time, if the emphasis can be back upon the biblical revelation itself, trying to extract what the apostles, the priests, the prophets, and Christ himself had to say and teach, and if we can arrive at it no matter what man says today, I think that's a major achievement, and I think we can be a proper fisher of men, the type that Christ wanted back there some 2,000 years ago. Now, in this course, we're going to stress the written word of the scripture itself in the original manner of presentation. That's what these 24 courses that I have got ready for, or getting ready for this course, happens to be all about. We want to stress what the written word says, and we want to put it in its historical dress. That's quite true. We want to show the chronological time frames in which these writings and teachings were given. We also want to show the geographical areas in which they took place. We want to know all of these necessary factors for the comprehension of any type of historical study. And by the way, the Bible, both Old and New Testaments, happens to be history from beginning to end. Well, we're going to use all of the means available that we possibly can muster in order to arrive at proper understandings of what the original apostles and Christ and the prophets were trying to get across. Of course we're going to do that, but that's just the point. That is what needs to be done, rather than relying upon the opinions of man, as this world has done for many centuries, and especially in this modern 20th century. Definitely that is the case. Now, tools will be needed. You will have to have tools, and so will I, all of us will, to show how one can best extract the original meanings and intentions of the scripture from the Hebrew, the Aramaic, or the Greek words which make up the scripture. This does not mean that the scholarly opinions of man should be completely avoided and abandoned. No, we're not going to do that. In fact, we will even be quoting from time to time scholars who have done extensive works, historical research, and have done a great service to the understanding of Scripture. We're going to be quoting them from time to time. But as I said before, the emphasis in this course is going to be on the biblical revelation itself, so that you, carrying that book called the Holy Scriptures in your hand, may have the essential information that you need to not only show yourself what the truth is, the basic truth, but that you will have the capability of taking it to others. Now, I have the firm conviction that 90% of people, not 100%, I'm willing to admit that, but 90% of people who are able to understand things from the Scripture and understand them well are able to teach them to others. And I think that God, through His Holy Spirit, will help a person even who does not have that skill. And it does take skill to do it, I mean, in a real professional and technical way. Now, I admit that. But almost 90% of people who understand points of the Scripture should be able to explain those things to others. And in fact, we're even told in Peter, the Apostle Peter, that be ready to give an answer for the faith that is in you. And you should be able to do that. And the way you do that is by studying. That's why we have a study so emphasized in the Scripture, and why I have wanted to start for some years now this home study course, and now it looks like we're starting right out on it. We need to be able to use the Scripture and the scriptural revelation in a way which is can facilitate not only our own learning, for our own education and admonition, I might say, but also for others that we can share this information with. Now, this home study course is designed to give you teaching in the home, so that you can, on your own pace, in your own fashion, in your own way, at your own time, be able to study with your Bible. Now, it's only a tool. It's a major tool. It's not the only one. You can study on your own, obviously, but what I am putting in these 24 lessons here are the essential factors for education, which I feel will give you a general all-around understanding of what the Holy Scripture is all about. At least it will give a basis by which you can then study on your own and even develop greater ways of learning peculiar to yourself. Because each one of us is a very different human being, and what I'm giving in this home study course will be primarily what I have been professionally involved in, the methods of teaching, for the past 30 to almost 35 years. But teaching has been my profession, and I like it very much. I've always wanted to be in it, and now I'm getting back into what I feel that I can do the best. And I think that all of you can do the same thing. And 90% of you who take this course, even more if people will be diligent and consistent in study, will be able to teach themselves. You can teach not only yourself, I should say, but you can teach others. And you can become true fishers of men that Christ said that we all should become, and we can have the rewards that God wants us to have. We have salvation given to us free, but we have rewards also coming to us if we will do the work that He has given us. And the responsibilities are there. All we have to do is to take them in tow and to begin to develop them. And I tell you, not only is it a rewarding type of a circumstance, where you can study and learn new things and get the proper methods for study and things like that, but it's also fun. It really and truly is. The Bible is a fun book. Now, I put quote marks around that because, of course, you understand it has its highly serious side. The serious side takes precedence over everything, of course. But, you know, there is lots of entertainment that we can get by understanding things of the past. And I might also say there's a serious side to it for the future. Because prophecy, though it's embedded within a historical basis of the past, it also has a ramification for the future, a teaching for the future. And that is what we want to know about. But we especially want to know the teachings of Jesus Christ and of his apostles and how they understood the prophets of old. We want to see the whole of the Bible in its composite features, how that we can put it all together and understand the wonderful symmetry, the wonderful design, the fact of unanimity of teaching that you can find from beginning to end. You know, once we come to the end of these 24 courses, I think you're going to be able to say that there are marvelous and wonderful consistent teachings found throughout the entirety of the Holy Scripture, and that this Bible represents nothing less than the revealed Word of the Almighty Father Himself, Yahweh Himself, and that it exemplifies in a most marvelous way, either literally or even allegorically, and certainly spiritually, the teachings of Jesus Christ himself. When we put all of those things together, I think that you will find that the course that we are offering here is going to be well worth it. And it's something that can be used for a long time to come, not only by you, but by your support of it and by my continuance of it and all of that. We can send this out to people around the world, even into foreign countries, people who cannot afford to go to seminary or even to school in some cases. But if they have the basic understanding of the reading skills, reading and writing and arithmetic, as you know, then they can get this course and they can understand the basic teachings of the Holy Scripture. And this really needs to be done. That is why we have two sections to the course. We have the audio section, which you are listening to now, which will be my voice to explain basically the various courses and to give you overviews of them and things like that, and also to get into some intricacies of them so that you can see the overall scope of things, to get to the nugget truths of what the various books or subjects are trying to teach. So we have the audio section, and that's called the cassette tape section. But also associated with it will be supplemental written material, which you can follow along. And this is very important, and you will even find that sometimes I will read what I have stated in the written lesson. And that's repetition, all right. But it's repetition in a way which will help you to understand things. You see, one of the keys to learning is repetition. The more you think of something, the more you repeat it, the more it becomes ingrained in your consciousness, in your heart. And you're able then to let it flow out spontaneously. And even God's Holy Spirit is supposed to act that way. You know, when you're so familiar with the Holy Spirit and it's working with you all the time, and these truths are in your mind all the time, the truths of the Scripture, then they flow out like waters coming from the innermost part of the soul. And that's what Christ said at the Feast of Tabernacles there, just about 6 months before he was killed. So you see, these things are most important. The more we learn, the more we repeat these things, the more they become a part of us, and it's much easier to get them out. One of the things in my teaching experience has been this, that by repeating many of the courses that I have taught over the years, I become more proficient as time goes on. And that's with you or with anybody. It's just a normal way of doing things. So we have then the supplemental written material which will accompany the cassette tape. And those two together supplement each other. They complement each other as well. And from time to time, I will be giving you hints or advice on various books that would be good for you to purchase so that you can have these in your library to help you to understand even more the various subjects that we're talking about. Now, some of these subjects are going to be highly complex, that is, on the surface. But it's going to be my job, and I hope I'm going to be successful in this, to make those highly technical subjects, those highly complex subjects of the Scripture, which so many people in some cases are afraid of, to make them simple and plain and understandable. Now that's what a teacher is supposed to do. A teacher is not to put things into your head exclusively and then you then go around and then mimic him, because that's not you learning. No, the teacher is there just to give you the general way of study, to give you hints of how to study, to give you some of the easy ways to study, to give you things that he has gone into over many years of experience, and so that you can understand things in an easier way and where to go to find out things. Yeah, that's what the teacher is for. But the teacher is not there for you to absorb everything from him like a tape recording and then you just give it back out to the general public in the way that he did. Oh no, you must develop your own teaching methods, your own study methods, your own learning methods. You must equip yourself with the necessary things from the Holy Scripture, the teachings, which are concomitant with your own personality. And each of us is different. And isn't it wonderful that we are? I have a certain type of a personality, and so do you and your next door neighbor and even your children have different personalities than you do or than I do. And that's good. That is the way that God wants it, and that's the way he created it. But I'll tell you what he wants us to do is to learn from one book, and that one book is the Holy Scripture. And we need to learn from it, not from what scholars say about it, though those things can sometimes be important. But what we need to do is to learn what the Bible says itself. While all of us must adopt some kind of interpretation and all of that, we are not going to rely upon the interpretations of man. We will emphasize the necessity of letting the Scripture interpret itself as best we can. Now, this definitely is the proper thing to do. Now, first of all, there's a very important thing for us to realize regarding education and why it's so necessary at this time. Believe me, it is. This is an age when education is needed more than ever. I have given some lectures in the past to show that scriptural education in particular was going real fine in this world, particularly in England and in the United States here and in France and Germany, up until about the middle of the last century, about to 1859, 1860. And then something drastically happened. The scripture was put on the back burner for all practical purposes and looked upon by many scholars in the world as an antiquarian a piece of literature. Interesting, of course, you know, and show the type of primitive teachings of our ancestors. That's the method that they, or the appraisal, I should say, that they usually gave, and still do, as a matter of fact, of the Holy Scripture. But about 1859, somewhere around in there, the emphasis in the scholarly world went over to the scientific method. That is, the empirical method, as it's called, what you can observe, what you can see, what you can weigh, what you can touch. In other words, now God himself, revealed in the scripture, was put on the back burner, and we began to look, our ancestors, 100 years ago or more, began to look at nature around us as giving us the key to the understanding of ourselves. And in fact, the teaching of evolution began at that time to show that we ourselves are a product of nature. And though there may be a God, quote unquote, out there, there can hardly be a redemptive plan of that God. Or if there is, how can it possibly be if all of us have sprung from nature itself, coming through a various processes of some kind of physical development, so that we now are, as we are now, the highest form of life, which you might call animal life, on Earth today. The theory of evolution was started in the middle of the last century, and though it's waning at the present time as far as many scientists are concerned, the principles that were brought into evidence back at that time, or into prominence, I should say, are still very much with us today. However, there is a trend back to the biblical revelation, and there's a reason for that. And as I have said consistently over the past 12 years, in fact, longer than that, as a matter of fact. But for a long, long time, I have tried to say and tell people that the Bible prophesies there's going to be an explosion of scriptural knowledge at the end of the age. Knowledge is going to be increased. That is a prophetic statement found in the book of Daniel, and it's reiterated and even elaborated on in the New Testament and some of the other prophets as well. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, in our logo that we have for the Associates for Scriptural Knowledge, we quote one scripture. And the scripture, I think, is an appropriate one. It's this one in Daniel chapter 12, and it's verse 4. And I'm sure you all know it, but it needs to be stated at the beginning here. It says this, knowledge shall be increased. In this particular case, it means the knowledge of the prophecy that Daniel was given there, but at the same time, that prophecy is so filled with information of what is to occur just prior to the second advent of Christ Jesus back to this earth, that it represents something right up to date for us, things that really have not quite occurred yet, and we need to take cognizance of these scriptures here. Knowledge is to be increased, and if you go on down just a little bit farther in Daniel chapter 12 and verses 9 and 10, you have really an interpretation by Daniel of what he had said earlier. Look at it here in verse 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, that's the angel that said that to him, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. Now, if the wise are going to understand these things that are going to be made known at the end of the age, there must be some kind of wisdom placed within the minds of the wise. What makes them wise? Well, the only thing that you could possibly think of would be knowledge, understanding. That is, the things that God has given to mankind to make him to know what God is going to do, what God's ways are. Not only the Holy Spirit that is within us. Yes, that's important. Oh my, yes, so important. But you know, you must have the factors, historical, doctrinal, chronological, prophetical, all of those factors must be there for the Holy Spirit to put them together, to let you put them together, so that they can be put into a proper sequence, and then you can comprehend what God is going to do at the end of the age. The knowledge of God is all in the Bible. That is the basic knowledge. That doesn't mean it's all there, of course not. But the basic, essential, skeletal knowledge of God is right there in the Holy Scripture. And the wise will begin to understand the Holy Scripture as never before. And when it says the knowledge shall be increased there in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, it means the knowledge of what's in the Scripture in the first place. What he had just said in Daniel chapter 11 and Daniel chapter 12. That knowledge, the understanding of it, the comprehension of it, will be made known in the latter days just before the second advent back to this world. Now, this was known by the Apostle Peter, and I've quoted this several times, but I think in this context it needs to be reiterated. In Acts chapter 3, after the resurrection of the dead, and that is of Christ, and Peter was there in Jerusalem, and many Jews had now been converted to Christ, in one day 3,000 men had been baptized, and that was just 50 days after the crucifixion of Christ on the Mount of Olives. Now they were pricked in their hearts, and they were beginning to understand that something more than man was in Christ Jesus. He was something very special, sent from Yahweh himself here. And they began to know that. And with miracles and things like that beginning to take place in their midst, done by the apostles and all of that, of course, under the power of the Holy Spirit, many people began to wonder what was going on. Well, the Apostle Peter came along, and he had a series of sermons. But one of the most important is recorded in Acts chapter 3, beginning in verse 19. He told those Jews back at that time, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." When, that's what it says in the King James Version. But in the actual Greek, it says, "so that." Now, if you repent, he says, and be converted, and your sins be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive, that is, he's going to stay in heaven, until the time of restitution of all things. The word restitution means, really, in plain, simple English, it means restoration. And let me just read it that way. Whom the heavens must receive, that is, Jesus Christ will remain in heaven, and he's going to stay right there, until the times of restoration of all things which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. If you will read that very carefully, and it's better to get it in a new translation, and one that really does bring the Greek out into the English fashion, of course, vernaculars, I should say. Once you get that, Peter is saying that it's time now for people to repent. Now, he said that back there almost 2,000 years ago. But really, the time of Christ's second advent back to this earth is still on the horizon to us. These words are more applicable to us once we get the full chronological scheme of prophecy in mind, which Peter didn't have at that time. We had to wait for a while to be able to understand themselves just exactly the chronological time factors involved in the whole scheme of prophecy and of the plan of redemption that God has for mankind through his son Jesus Christ. They didn't quite understand it right at that time. Later on, and we will see this in one of the courses that will be offered, Books will be shown to you or given to you or told about so that you can check it for yourself and see these things very clearly on your own study, that the apostles, they grew in grace and knowledge and were able to understand things about chronology a little later on in their ministries than they did right at the very beginning. But what Peter said was true. Absolutely true to the dotting of the I and the crossing of the T. The only thing is that it was slightly out of time frame. This really refers to us today. Now, it referred to them, that's quite true, but from a time point of view, from the point of view of looking at chronology and of prophecy and all of that, we're just on the horizon of the second advent of Christ according to all of the signs that you can possibly imagine, including the chronological ones. And I have a whole course on chronology, which will be offered to you very soon. And it is an amazing course. I don't mean the course itself is amazing. I mean the information that will be given in it is amazing because it comes right out of the scriptural revelation, and you're going to see things that you've never seen before. Most important things dealing with chronology, which can help us to see just how close we are to that end of the age. In fact, we're on the threshold of it right now. And the emergence of the events just preceding the second coming of Christ are just right there at the door, and they're waiting. But we have to have a proper chronological understanding of these things to really see them and to comprehend them in the way that God wants us to with the aid of His Holy Spirit. But Peter was saying to those people to repent ye. Now, if they would repent and be converted and their sins blotted out, in other words, there would be a people prepared who God would prepare for His second coming. Once that took place, so that, it says, the times of refreshing can come. It means that that has to take place first. There must be a genuine type of repentance. It's not going to be all the world, of course not, but there's going to be a repentance, and it's going to come of the Jews. As a matter, he was talking to Jews at the time, Peter was, and that's a big subject in itself. But yes, indeed, you're going to see many of the Jewish nation over in Israel and throughout the world come to accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And you just watch for it. It's going to come in the next few years. At least that's my belief. And that's what the Scripture says. And we will point out many of these in some of our lectures on prophecy, where we go into these things in a scholarly way, but at the same time in an easy way so that they can be understood. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the time of the restoration of all things, and of which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. So you see, it means a restoration of all things is going to take place. Now, Ernest Martin did not say that. Well, I said it, but I read it, you see. It was stated by Peter. And Peter knew, and the other apostles knew, that this restoration was prophesied. And I've given you some verses in the book of Daniel. Now, when this restoration takes place, you're going to find knowledge coming from this Holy Scripture that will utterly astound people. Not only in the theological and doctrinal fields, but also in the historical. But not only the historical, it's going to come into the scientific as well, and we have a course on that that we're going to be offering. And that will be a most amazing one when people see, and I've just touched the surface. I mean, just the top of an iceberg have I even given in my former lectures on the scientific information that you can find in the Scripture, which is very much relevant today, and some of it is ahead of our own research today. I firmly believe it. And in a few years in advance of us right now, I firmly believe that we're going to find the biblical revelation coming back into its own prominence. That people, I mean, in the scientific world, and they're going to be saying, you mean that was in there? That was in there? This was in there? This scientific bit of information was in there in that book called the Bible? And the answer will be, yes, there it is. Now, we strip away all of the archaic language, King James language, written by people, they were fine people, fine scholars back at the time of the 1600s when they translated the King James Version. And even today, our scholars are fine scholars in most cases. But most of them have not had a scientific background. Their disciplines have been in other fields altogether, mainly in linguistics and theology or whatever.
But you take some of those words, especially in some of the oldest books of the Bible, and you will find that they have meanings to them that scientists, when they see what they mean, their eyes will get probably about as big as saucers. And we've only touched the top of an iceberg on that. But that needs to be brought out, and it will be brought out. And people are going to be seeing that there are things in that scripture that we should have been looking at long ago. Now, the apostles couldn't even understand some of these things. But we do know this, that the Holy Spirit was given to those apostles back there after Christ went back to heaven to help them to teach in a step-by-step fashion over a period of about 30 years for most of them. And then for the Apostle John, he lived up almost to the end of the first century. So some 60 years after Christ died. And the Holy Spirit was given to lead them step by step in the teachings of doctrine and history and prophecy. That's quite true. But even they didn't understand some of the things that were given to them, because the time was not ripe. Some of the words that you find in the Bible, which can be translated into English from the Greek, or the Hebrew in this case, or perhaps on a few occasions the Aramaic, or even the Greek, some of the words you can get exact definitions of, I should say exact equivalents of, but you don't necessarily have the full definitions. Because you see, some of those words written under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, were the meanings of them were not available some 2,000 years ago, or 3,000 or 3,500 years ago. But they are now becoming available, because we are now growing in grace and in knowledge, even in the secular world. And what we're going to find is that the Holy Spirit of God is going to be soon even revealing more and more and more truth. And it says that there's going to be a restitution of all things. Now, that's what I read before. But you know, if a person will look at John chapter 16 and verses 12 through 15 very carefully, this was the night prior to Christ's own crucifixion up there on the Mount of Olives, when he was killed for the sins of mankind, you and me. Just before that happened, the night before, he gave some instructions, very important instructions, to his apostles. And here is the central teaching about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in their lives back there, and in our lives today. And here's what he told the apostles, beginning in verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Now, I want to stop on that just a moment, because that's important just to emphasize. You know, a part of education is to stop on verses, on statements, and analyze them. It means to emphasize them and to just say, just sit back and say, what in the world do they mean by that? Isn't it interesting what is stated there? And you know, in this particular case, if a person would muse on that statement of Christ, it is full of truth. Just full of truth, and it has something to do with us today, if we have ears to hear and eyes to see. Because he says, I have yet many things, not a few things, but many things to say unto you. Now, he was talking to the 11 apostles there. Judas had gone out by this time. But ye cannot bear them now. Now, these apostles had been with Christ for a long time. Up in Samaria, in Galilee, over in Perea, and around Judea, and in Jerusalem. But they were hearing him. But you know, he spoke in parables all the time to the general public, and even the apostles themselves were not able to appraise in all details exactly what he was trying to get across. And so many people today, you know, they make the mistake of thinking that Christ spoke in parables to make the meaning clear. But that's not what the Bible says. He spoke in parables to confuse. Now, not to confuse in a way which means indefinitely, because all of the parabolic language that is used, you might say whether it's allegorical, and most of it is, of course, and even mystical or whatever, all of those things, once they are, the mysticism is stripped away from it, and the allegorical teachings and metaphorical ones are stripped away, we're left with plain and clear literal information. Now, this is one of the keys to understanding the future and understanding now, and to know what true doctrine really is to strip away all of the metaphorical teaching and to get it down to a literality. And that can be done. It can be done. So even the apostles in hearing Christ back there were not able to completely appraise his teachings correctly. They needed another element to come into their lives. They needed the agency of the Holy Spirit to prompt them to know what he was really trying to say when he used the words, the sentences, the phrases, the sentences, and the paragraphs that he did. So he says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot, you apostles, cannot bear them now. But look at verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. All truth. And here is an interesting point. In the original Greek written by John, under the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit, there is a definite article in front of the word truth. Now that's a little word, the, T-H-E. And you know, when you put that there, it defines it. And it puts it in a little box, absolutely, you know, and says, this is it, all the truth. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all the truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. That is prophecy of the future. Now that section of Daniel, Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, where it says, knowledge shall be increased, that even has a definite article in front of it too. The knowledge shall be increased. The knowledge of the prophecy. And here we have Christ himself saying that the Holy Spirit will show you things to come when you're able to bear it. But to be able to bear it means you have to have education. You have to have teaching. You have to have understanding. You have to be studying so much that you're able to put all of these things together and to come up with proper conclusions with the Holy Spirit guiding you in these things. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, that's the Holy Spirit, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. There again it is, shall show it unto you. Most of us could not possibly come to some of the essential teachings of the Scripture and the understanding of them without the aid of the Holy Spirit. How many times have I said myself, after studying whole sections of Scripture for years and not being able to put them into a proper framework of understanding? It just simply wasn't God's time, or it certainly hadn't motivated me to understand, but then all of a sudden it seemed like the scales would come off of a person's eyes, just like they did from the Apostle Paul's back there when he was called. Or perhaps, like to use the Old Testament expression, the veil. Veils were just taken off the eyes. How many times have you experienced that? Well, I have on many occasions. And then it becomes so clear what was being told. You know, there's so many things that I, Ernest L. Martin, that I do not yet know of the Scripture, and I wish I did. And it's right there in the Scripture. And you know the reason I don't completely understand it yet, though I'm your teacher. Why am I? I'm not perfect, you see. I'm just a teacher, that's all, just a human teacher. I hope I'm motivated by God's Holy Spirit to a certain extent. And I'll tell you this, all the truth that you get from me or my teaching will come from the Holy Scripture, where there's where the truth is, not from me. But if it is going out as truth, it's coming some way, somehow from Yahweh himself. That is, it's coming from through the Holy Spirit, through Christ Jesus. It's got to come that way. He will show you all things. He will show you things to come. And he will show you of Christ. And then this is the most important scripture here, because it says all the truth is going to be revealed. And that's exactly what Acts chapter 3, verse 19 through 21 says. Now that means all essential truth. It doesn't mean all scientific truth, all historical truth, whatever. But there's going to be enough of that that it's going to astound this world. And what this world needs is a knowledge of God. That is what is going to be restored. It's God's teachings through Christ Jesus and his apostles and the prophecies. They are essential. And God tells us already in the book of Hosea, verse chapter 4 and verse 6, that one of the greatest disasters that has ever happened to God's people is when they have a lack of knowledge. And that will apply to you personally or to me personally or to any group of people who make up a church of God at the present time. One of the essential disasters that has happened amongst God's people is a lack of knowledge. And he says in Hosea 4:6, it's a lack of knowledge which destroys people. Now, we can be a part of this restoration of knowledge because we're coming into the period of time. And if it's not going to be you or I or any other or who's listening to us on this cassette tape, or let's say who are a part of the Academy or Associates for Scriptural Knowledge, it's going to be someone else. And I've even said, and I believe this firmly, that if no one wants to do it, even the stones that you can find out there on the mountainside or in the fields will speak out, because it's going to be done according to the Bible. And I just don't have any doubt that that is the case. Now, we can all have a part of this restoration, and that's why I wanted to start the home study course to help you, to help all of us. How many of us are there out there? I don't know in this world, but Christ said we're like the salt of the earth, scattered around this entire world, just not in one location, not in one city, or one province, or one state, or one country, but scattered around the world. And that's the way it's going to be at the end of the age. That's clearly what is prophesied. We're like salt. And then he even uses the number of 7,000. Now, that's only a round figure in that particular case, because we find that's what was given to Elijah as a knowledge of truth back there in his time in the 9th century B.C. And the Apostle Paul said it was applicable at his time relative to the children of Israel that he was trying to teach. And it's going to be applicable in our time today. So who are the 7,000? Well, the 7,000 need teaching. And some have been, there have been certain teachers placed in the church, and some with other gifts and whatever. We all have gifts. Every single one of us has a gift. And some may even have more than one gift. There's some things I don't have any knowledge about, some things that are very important of this that I don't know much about, like matters of healing and things of that nature. Maybe I should know more. Maybe I could if I really studied those things. But some of you out there have good knowledge, great knowledge, exceptional knowledge of those things that God has graced you with. You have a spiritual talent and you should use it. I have one and I should use it. And every one of you listening to me on this cassette tape and are a part of this course, you have talents. And one thing you do, you should always do, is to develop those talents. And that's what this home Bible course is all about. What needs restoration, first of all, in my view, at this end of the age, is the Bible itself in proper order. We need a manuscript version of the Bible. Now, I wrote my book, The Original Bible Restored, and most of you no doubt will have that. I hope you do, because in one of my courses that I'm going to give on the development of the Holy Scripture and its designs, you will almost need that volume to be able to understand what I'm going into. It will be the textbook that you will need. But in that book, I tried to show by manuscript evidence, and historical as well, and even internal evidence of the Old and the New Testaments, that we need desperately to get those books of the Bible back in the manuscript order, because they tell a story flow within a beautiful context, a perfect context, as a matter of fact, from beginning to end. And right at the center of those 49 books, and by the way, in the original numeration of the Old and the New Testaments, the exact books we have in our King James Version today, but in the original numeration, there were 49 books and not 66, though the same contents were there. You're going to learn all of these things when it comes down to the time for this particular course that we're going in, this lesson that we're going into. But we need a manuscript version of the Bible. The words of the Bible need to be in clear English. Now, there's some good translations out at the present time. Rotherham's is a good one. The Concordant Version that I have been familiar with for a long time is very good on these things, both the Old and the New Testament. But we need to get the books back in the order as well as the words restored. And then we need... This ends side one of the introductory lesson. Please turn over the cassette tape for side two at this juncture.